Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs. We're looking at tonight what the Bible says about wisdom. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern sound judgment. A biblical dictionary would say that wisdom is the right use of knowledge. It means to view knowledge from God's perspective. We go to school, we gain knowledge in school, but if we use that knowledge to contradict God, the Bible teaches that isn't wisdom. Wisdom is viewing things from God's perspective. But let's look at what the Bible says about wisdom, and the book of Proverbs is devoted to wisdom. And so we're going to just stay in the book. There are other verses of the Bible that we could have used for these various points, but we're just going to tonight stay in the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at what the Bible says about wisdom. Look at number one. What are the actions of a wise man? When someone is wise, we say he's wise. Well, what does that mean? Well, what does the Bible say? So turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Of course, we know that a proverb is a few words that says a big meaning. So something that might take a couple of paragraphs maybe to define, there may be a proverb that in one sentence or even a portion of a sentence will sum all that up for us. It literally means instead of. So it's a few words instead of many words. That becomes a proverb. There are Bible proverbs. There are cultural proverbs. You'll hear of a Chinese proverb or an Indian proverb. There's a lot of, on the farm when I grew up, there's a lot of southern proverbs. Most of them were about Yankees up north. But there are little proverbs that we get and learn that are devoted to wisdom. But let's look at what the Bible says here. And in Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 5. Proverbs 1, verse 5. It says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Notice that it says that a wise man will hear you. Jesus would use the expression, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Well, obviously, he wasn't talking about ears sticking out on the side of your head. Most everybody's got at least two of them. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you can hear but not be hearing at all. Every preacher knows what that means. You can be preaching away and people looking at you and sometimes even nodding. And you can tell that the light's on, but there's nobody at home. And that's what he's talking about. He says, a wise man will hear. A wise man's got his antenna up all the time, trying to learn, trying to increase knowledge, because that helps you. That benefits you. So a wise man will hear. Look at, turn to chapter 9. And look at verse 9. Proverbs chapter 9 and look at verse 9. It says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So a wise man understands that everything that he learns, it just makes him more capable, makes him more efficient, makes him more successful. And so a wise man, the Bible tells us, is a person that will listen. There's a lot of good advice out there. And sometimes it costs you nothing but just to listen. And so from this we learn then, number one, wisdom comes from listening. Just listen. Just listen. You know, if we at church, if we will just have our ears engaged, and if you will just tune in, you will learn a lot of Bible in church. And I think especially from these Wednesday night studies, there's not a lot of window dressing on the studies. That's why I like that. Number one, all I got to do is just bring out the teaching. I don't have to go and look up illustrations and find all the things to try to create windows in this. We just look at what the Bible says, and then what do we learn from that? But it enables us to go through a lot of verses in the Bible. And so if we'll just, when you come to church, if you'll just focus and come specifically because you want to hear, and be selfish about it. If you can't hear where you are, move. You know, it's sad to say there are people that are in church, but, and I'm glad you come, but sometimes folks come and they're not really interested in hearing anything tonight. And they're back there, and some folks got cell phones out, and you're so important that, you know, that you need to have that phone with you tonight. And there are folks that are texting during the service, and there are people that are writing notes, and that's distracting sometimes. To others around you. So if you're in that, move. Just get up and move. Because that's costing you wisdom. So the Bible says that wisdom... I knew it'd be one of the trustees. Wisdom comes from listening, amen. I'm proud of you because you were listening today. All right, so number two. Number one, we learn wisdom comes from listening. Number two, look at verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 9. It says that, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. But it says, rebuke a wise man, and he'll love thee. It says, rebuke a wise man. It says, now, if you can't rebuke a scorner. He'll get angry. He'll be hurt at you. He'll be offended. When we, as pastors, there are people that you can correct in a spirit of love. And there are other folks who don't take correction very well. You know, a pastor can't benefit you if you won't let him get after you once in a while. Okay? You know, it's you've got to grant people in your life. You've got to grant them, the ones that you choose, the one that you choose to respect. And you've got to grant them the right to sometime plow down your middle. You ought to have friends that can be honest with you. Amen. You ought to have family members that you grant them the right to be constructively critical. Man, I think you're messing up here. I think that's a dumb move. And if you're wise, you will allow people to do that and not be offended, not get mad at them for it. If you only want people that stroke you, if you only want people that blow in your ear and tell you what you want to hear, you're not very wise. You need to surround yourself with people that you give that freedom to. And husband and wives, you need to grant that to your mate. You need to not only allow, but you need to solicit. Your mate loves you more than anybody, and you ought to listen to what they say. And they could be wrong, and it doesn't mean because they say it that they're always right. But they do deserve you honestly to give it a good, strong listen and take it and pray about it. My wife has always said, you know, any time that she doesn't agree with something, that tells me, whoa, I need to stop and relook at this. And all she wants me to do is listen and then pray about it. then if I come back and say, honey, I hear what you're saying, and you may be right, I believe this is the direction we ought to go, she has no problem following that. But she wants to be listened to. And we need to have people in our life that we listen to. And the Bible says, now that's wisdom. You take somebody that you can't tell them nothing, they don't want to hear nothing, they don't want you, this is my life, stay out of my life, you're not very wise. And I can tell you now, you're in for a lot of trouble. A lot of young people, and the difference between teens, there are teenagers that if you try to tell them anything, they tune you out. They may look at you and look like they're being respectful, but you're not going to tell them nothing because they now know it all. You're not very wise. And I'm going to tell you something. You are going to become, you're going to get wiser, but it's going to be a hard way to hold for you. You're going to learn the hard way. But you'll see others who are listening. They're honestly listening. And they don't want to make dumb mistakes. They realize their whole life's ahead of them. And you can learn an awful lot from people that love you. And a lot of times what people are giving you, they learned it the hard way too. But they did learn it. So you can learn the same way they did through hard knocks. But boy, it's a much better way if you'll just learn to listen to people. At least hear what they're saying and really look at it and view it and pray about it before you move on another direction. So the Bible tells us that in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 8, it talks about give instruction to a wise man. Turn to chapter 17. And look at verse 10. It says that a reproof. What does reproof mean? To correct. I think you're messing up here. I don't think you ought to do that. You're going the wrong direction. I think you ought to make a change here. I think you're wrong. Don't go there. That's a reproof. It says that a reproof. Look at it, verse 10, entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You can take somebody that's not wise enough to take counsel, and you can beat them half to death. And they still haven't learned what a wise man would learn from just simply a talking to. Amen. So it's talking about correction. Look in chapter 15. Proverbs. Now, and let me encourage you to take your pen out, and when we give you a verse that you say, boy, that is good, underline that verse where you can find it. There'll be somebody that you're going to be talking to that you'll say, boy, we just had a verse the other night in Bible study. I wish I could remember that verse because that would sure be a help to them. Underline those verses. And where you can find them. But look at Proverbs 15 and look at verse 31. It says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Who are the wise people? They're the people whose ears are open to correction. So from this we learn number two. We're looking at what are the actions of a wise man. Number two, a wise man accepts correction. Are you secure enough in your personal, your self-image, that you can accept correction? You know, if you're insecure in your self-image, then anything at all that tells you you're not doing something right, you can't hardly handle that because you already feel like you're not doing much right. But if you have a good, secure self-image, you know that you've got, we're not a single tree, we're a whole forest. And we can have an action or an attitude or an activity that is wrong that we're doing, but that doesn't speak to all the things that we're doing right. Amen? And everybody has to, I mean, look, you're doing some things right. You are in church tonight rather than a honky-tonk. Amen? The Bible tells us that we're to love thy neighbor as thyself. So what does that mean? You're supposed to love yourself. You need to have you need to look at yourself and give yourself credit for the things that you're doing that's right. And if you'll do that, if you realize, well, I've got a long ways to go, and I'm certainly not there yet, but I am doing a few things good. If you'll do that, then you will not feel absolutely deflated if a friend or a loved one or someone that you have granted that permission to says to you, look, I love you, but you need to learn to shut your mouth. So you can handle what they call constructive criticism, all right? So a wise man accepts correction. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Are you with me so far? Yeah. All right, look at Proverbs chapter 10. Looking at strictly wisdom in this study. Look at verse 5. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. Now, from this we learn, number 3, a wise person takes time to prepare. Life is coming at you. So we need to prepare for life. That's why in school you go to classes. That's why you do homework. That's why you go through those math tables over and over and over again. That's why you bother to diagram a sentence. And you wonder, why I'm never going to use this in my life. Why do I need to learn how to diagram? And you learn all of these different things. But the reason why you go ahead and apply yourself and the reason why you keep on learning, once you get out of school, you never get out of school. Not if you're wise. You're always learning. Always learning. And because the Bible teaches us that a wise person takes time to prepare. Put some time in preparation. That's wisdom. That's wise. Look at verse 8, Proverbs chapter 10, and look at verse 8. I said wisdom comes from listening. Number 2, a wise man accepts correction. Number 3, a wise person takes time to prepare. All right? The Bible says, it talks about that gathering in the summer while everybody else can be out swimming. And you're gathering, that's wisdom. But look at verse 8. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. A wise in heart will receive commandments. Turn to chapter 13 and look at verse 1. Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instructions, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Notice it's talking about instruction. Turn to chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19. This is different from number 1. We talked about just being willing to listen. We're talking about now instruction and listening to what is being taught to us, specifically being taught. Look at chapter 19. Look at verse 20. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Boy, it's amazing how much wisdom there is in the generation that's gone by. Don't you wish maybe that you could have recorded some of those things that Grandpa said? Don't you wish you could go back? There's a lot to be said about catching and receiving that instruction. So number 4, wisdom follows instruction. Wisdom not only listens. Wisdom not only accepts correction. Wisdom not only takes time to prepare, but wisdom follows instruction. Look at chapter 10. Look at verse 14. It says, wise men lay up knowledge. Wise men lay up knowledge. What does that mean? To commit to memory. It means to be constantly learning. A wise person is going to go out here tonight and you got something out of this. Somebody else could come and say, same old, same old. I've been hearing this stuff for 30 years. I'm sick of this. Same old thing, over and over again. That's what they said to Isaiah. They said, hear again. You talk to us like we're little children. We've heard this stuff. Notice how the Bible teaches by repetition, over and over and over. That's the way we learn, isn't it? The Bible teaches us that a wise person is just constantly learning because they're looking for something to learn. We want to get something out of this. And so that's the way we need to do in our Christian life. We need to be constantly learning. Every sermon you hear. Yesterday I was at a preacher's conference. Brother Tim preached. Did a great job. Did a great job. And he preached. Two other preachers preached. And man, I tell you, I enjoyed. I got something out of all three sermons. It was a blessing. I've never heard a sermon that I didn't get something out of. Now, I've had a few close calls, I'll admit. But every we can learn from everything, can't we? And so wisdom is constantly learning. Look at verse 19, Proverbs chapter 10. And look in verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. I mean, if you're constantly talking, you're going to say things you ought not say. You're going to get in hot water. You're going to say something dumb. But look at what it says. It says that that in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Notice that the wise man will learn to control his tongue. Look at chapter 17 and verse 28. Chapter 17, verse 28. It says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. It's talking about controlling our tongues. Turn to chapter 29. Look at verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. Yeah, you can run with that verse, can't you? But a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And so, you know, when we're talking about, well, I just gave him peace of my mind. Well, the Bible has a word for you. And we need to learn, don't we, to control our tongues. I think that's something that we're probably in the process of learning our entire lives. Amen. I don't know that we ever arrive at that, but hopefully we become wiser. A wise man learns to control his tongue. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. What are the actions of a wise man? When the Bible talks so much about a wise man, how do you know a wise man when you see him? Well, we're giving you some of the attributes of wisdom tonight. And Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 30. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. So notice that it tells us, number seven, that a wise person wins souls. A wise person wins souls. You know, when a person is brought to Christ, that's the dearest thing to the heart of God. That is the thing that heaven gets more involved in than anything else. But it doesn't. It does not only affect the person that you win. It doesn't only bring rejoicing in heaven. But bringing someone to Christ will do something for you that nothing else will. I guarantee you, it'll lift you out of depression. I guarantee you, it'll make a bad week into a good week. I mean, every time I get to pray with somebody and see them trust Christ, I mean, that just turned my day around right there. And so the Bible tells us that a wise person wins souls. You say, boy, preacher, I just wish I could do that. I don't know how. Soul winning is the easiest thing in the world. I don't mean that everybody you talk to is going to receive Christ, because many aren't, most are not. But if you will just give people the gospel, somebody is going to receive it. But you know what? You have this promise from God, even when you give it to somebody and they do not receive it, when they do nothing, or when they say, thank you, but not now. You don't have to walk away and feel defeated and feel like, I'm so disappointed. The Bible tells us that every time you give out a gospel message to somebody, you're either planting something, or you're watering something, or you're harvesting. So many of you, the person that maybe was there when you got saved, they're not the one that planted the first seed. They may not even been the waterer. They just got there and happened time in the harvest. Somebody else did all the work, did the heavy lifting. Somebody else is the one that worried with you and messed with you and argued with you for 3 days or 6 months or 2 years at work. Or maybe a parent that just talked to you till they blew in the face. Or maybe some preacher that just preached and preached and preached and preached and preached and decided he's never going to get it. And so usually when somebody, and when we see people come forward here and they receive Christ, many of those, that is after they have received a lot of instruction from other people. People in the church, people in their neighborhood, people, others. We just get to get in on harvest. So the Bible tells us that you're a very wise person if you're talking to people about their soul, because it's going to do something for you. It will help you. It'll do something in your life that nothing else does. A wise person wins souls. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. While you're turning there, I want to mention that Sunday night we're going to have an old-fashioned testimonial service. We hadn't had one in a while. So you're going to bring the sermon. I'm not going to preach. We're just going to have testimonies. What I want you to be thinking about, maybe something that the Lord has just really done in your life, or something that's been a real blessing in your life. But be thinking. I'm giving you a lot of times I don't give you any notice. We just come here and we say, all right, let's testimonies. And sometimes folks say, boy, I thought of something. I wish I'd thought of it. So I'm giving you some time to kind of pray about it, be thinking about it. And Sunday night, that's going to be almost the whole service. We're going to have a very short song service and then no sermon, and we're going to have testimonies. So you be thinking about what you want to share. Now, you hadn't got time to get up and preach a sermon, all right? Because we want others to have time too. So, but be thinking about your testimony, something that you'd like to share with everybody. All right, Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I mean, you can justify anything you want to. You can say, in my situation, because of the way I was brought up, because of the community I live in, we're in a new age. You can find ways, you can find people that will tell you you're right, you're doing right. You can always justify anything you want to choose to. But you're not wise when you do that. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. he that hearkeneth unto counsel. Look at chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, only by pride cometh contention. Some people are so proud, so prideful, that they refuse to let anybody think that you can teach them anything. That's pride. A lot of times you'll see this in marriage counseling. Women are much more willing to be open, tell you what the problem is. The man sits there embarrassed, mad that his wife is towed off on him. And, well, how can I help you? I don't know. She's the one. Let her talk. She's the one who wants to do this. You know, he doesn't need it. And that's pride. That's pride. So proud that you can't admit that there's a fly in the ointment somewhere in your character. We all have them, don't we? And so it's talking about counsel here. He says here in Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 10. He says that only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. If you have been very well-advised, that's wise. So from this we learn, number 8, wise people learn to seek counsel. See, there's all different types of counsel. If you're thinking about starting a business, it would behoove you if you would talk to some business people, some people that you respect, some people that maybe have you've seen have had some success, people who have a business mind, people that maybe have been where you're at. You know, they might could save you from a lot of pain. If you've got something wrong medically, you need to see a medical team. And doctor said this, but I'm not going to do it. And a doctor told me I'm supposed to, but you know, I'm not going to do that. Then, you know, if you don't have confidence in that doctor, see another doctor. But your doctor becomes a part of your counseling team. I had some problems with my heart for a while. I'm happy to report that the last surgery they did straightened me out, and boy, I'm just clicking like that sewing machine running perfect. And they took me off of all medication a long time back, and I'm happy as a lark. But I want to tell you something. I followed my doctor's advice to a T. I checked around, and the doctor I got, I'm confident with. I like him. I think he knows more about it than I do. So when he said, take this, I took this. When he said, do that, I do that. When he said, come in, I came in. And because he's a part of my counseling team. If you've got a legal situation, you probably need to have a legal advisor. It would be good to talk to somebody, have somebody you can talk to that's a lawyer, someone that has a legal mind, and realize that you need their counsel. If it's a spiritual thing, you need to understand you need a spiritual counselor or spiritual counselors in your life. If there's marriage struggles, you may need a marriage counselor in your life. What I'm saying is that wise people, according to the Bible, learn to seek counsel. They're looking for it. They'll go out of their way. They'll pay to get it. But fools don't need none of that. I don't need none of that. I hadn't had a checkup. It's been at least 40 years. I don't need that. You're real smart. So the Bible tells us that wise people learn to seek counsel. Now, you may get counsel and you may pray about it, and the Lord may lead you to go in a different direction from the counsel, but seek the counsel and have a reason why you're not taking that counsel other than the fact that you're just stinking hard-headed. Amen? So don't go a different direction only because you're so proud that you can't stand to have somebody else give you guidance, or because you're just hard-headed. Have a reason for it. And sometimes God may lead you to go against counsel, but be sure that it's God doing it and not your flesh. All right? Wisdom. Turn to chapter 13 and verse 20. Is that what I just gave you? No. 13:20. Yes. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. The Bible tells us that from this we learn, number 9, wisdom is hanging out with the right people. Wisdom is hanging out with the right people. You show me who you hang with, and I can tell you what you're really like. Wisdom is hanging with the right people. And the Bible has a slew of scriptures that deal with choosing the right people in your life. Wisdom is hanging out with the right people. And we're not talking about just the kids. We're talking about moms and dads. We're talking about grandparents. Choose the right people. You know, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. Amen. You know, we're talking about medical things. You know, you can't choose your genetics, but you can choose what you do. And you can choose the people that you choose to hang with. So the Bible tells us that if there's wisdom in your life, you will realize that I'm moving in the direction of those that I hang with. You know, peer pressure is real, isn't it? And as adults, we feel that peer pressure. We want to be liked, and if we like people, we want to be a part. And I want to be careful who affects me, because I'm affected by people. So I want to be careful who is affecting me. And so the Bible teaches us that we need to hang with the right people. Let me give you one more tonight. Look at verse 16, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 16. A wise man feareth. Take your pen and underline that. If you're not scared, you ought to be. You ought to be. You know, you see these people and they laugh at all of the warnings, and they laugh and they'll make fun of things that can be. And I'm a very positive. Those of you that know me well, I'll find something positive in everything. I just until I have to deal with the other thing, I'm going to assume the positive. But we need to have a fear of what can be. You know, I think the difference, you know, when I was a teenager, I was driving on the farm way before I turned age 10. And by the time I was 11, I drove the truck to town by myself. That's just farm people. Farm people drive tractors, and parents just because they need another hand. And, you know, you're an idiot when you're young. You want to learn to drive so bad, and then once you learn to drive, you realize you should have kept your mouth shut. Now you got to get out there in that hot sun. When I was a teenage boy, I could flat handle that car. My reflexes were quick as a cat. And I've been in some situations and was able to get out of those situations because I could flat drive that car. The difference is now, I wouldn't have never gotten in those situations. Amen? My reflexes are not as quick now. But there's a reason why they charge teenagers more for insurance. It's not because they can't physically drive the car. They could drive it. maybe better than you. They just don't have any wisdom in driving. My wife and I were riding with two other couples back when we first got married in St. Louis, and we were going to visit some friends, I think, and maybe play some music or something. We were, she and I were sitting in the back seat, and the guy that was driving the car, he was driving along, and it was snow was on the ground, and there was just one little trail running right down the middle of the interstate. And so he had his arm around his wife, and he's up there driving the car, and we're sitting in the back, and another couple, one's in the front with them, one's in the back with us. And so he comes up behind this truck, and this truck's going about 35, and he's doing probably maybe 50 on that snow. And he comes behind the truck, so he just cuts right over to go around the truck. And when he did, he went right off the interstate, right down in between the interstates, and nobody said a word. He didn't panic. He didn't hit his brakes. Once he was in there, he did a great job. He kind of eased it up on the other side just to kind of get his angles right and right back across and right back up on the interstate and right back up in the line. Nobody said a word. We get back up in there, and so when he gets squared away again, he looks back at me, and he said, you'd have never been able to get us out of there, would you? And I said, I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing, I'd have never got us in there. Carol and I were driving one time, and we were up in North Carolina, and the tires on our car was worse than I realized. That we didn't really pay that much attention to them, but we ran into snow. So we stopped and got filled up with gas, and I got me a little styrofoam cup full of coffee. My wife said, now, honey, you'll spill that on you. I said, no, I won't. So we get back on the interstate, and we're going. And, man, I mean, cars are in the ditch everywhere. They're slid off the road on this side and slid off the road on that side. We're driving along there, and my wife says, honey, how are we staying out of the ditch and everybody else hitting? I said, well, now, dear, you got to know how to drive on stuff like this. I had no more than said that. Then all of a sudden, that car just changed ends. It just went going like this. And we wound up down into the, off on the side there. But I'm going the right direction. So we finally get stopped. I mean, there's silence in the car. We get stopped. And she looks down, and that coffee cup is turned upside down in her lap. We got out of there, went to the next exit. I put new tires on it. And later on, we were coming through Amarillo, Texas. And there was ice everywhere. And boy, I mean, just ice over to where we're easing along through there, and cars are all everywhere. She said, how are we avoiding? I said, dear, you guys. She said, don't you say a word. Well, amen. So, wisdom, wise people get as far as possible from evil. Amen. Chapter 14, verse 16, it says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. It'll be okay. Not worried about it. Nothing scares them. They're not worried about facing God. They're not worried about consequences. That's foolish. A wise person has a fear in them, a healthy fear that will guide them in life. What are the actions of a wise man? Let's stop there. Let's bow our heads tonight.